Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
That I have a certain assignment that day to do that. I don't take more upon me than I should. Back in the 70s, I was involved with the church, and their church was, their theme was, we're going to reach the world. They only run 1,000 people. There's a lot of people in this world. For one church to reach the world is quite an assignment. But they took that upon themselves. In doing so, they literally quenched all of the joy. It becomes such a heavy burden upon them that eventually it kind of destroyed that church. They just took too much upon themselves. God hasn't called you to do more than you can do with His help. God has given you a certain assignment, a certain locale, a certain consensus, a certain audience, a certain congregation, and you're to be an influence in that. And so God has not caused you to embrace all of the world, but He has called you to bring down His kingdom in your life, and that your life will have an aura. It'll have an influence, that everybody that comes in contact with you will be affected. They will see that there is a difference in you than a normal human being. And Jesus has given us that in this prayer. I expect good things to happen to me, not because of the world, because of the events or the economy. I believe that God can circumvent all of that in my life. He can make things happen for me that doesn't happen for other people because I've embraced the kingdom of God. I can have just a piece of heaven anytime that I so desire. This past Tuesday, I've been doing this for about a month, but I had a lot of cattle. I've been selling cattle. Cattle are extremely high right now. I decided I didn't want to take them through the winter. I didn't have enough hay. Hay's $75 a bale. I'd need another 100 bales. And so I said, well, the economy, they said, I need to sell these cattle right now and not do this through the winter. So I started selling them 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so a week ago, Wednesday, when the sale is, man, they were sky high. I just did so well. So I said, I'm going to sell 2 loads on this next Wednesday. Will you take them in on Tuesday? And Tuesday, when I got there with my first load, they met me at the gate and said, we're sending everybody back home. I said, why? They said, well, the weather's one of the things. It's so cold, and the economy is another thing, and there's just a lot of fear. And said, all of our commercial buyers, they'll have at the sale about 10 or 15 commercial buyers, and they buy for all the big packing plants, and they drive the price up. We're sending all of the sellers back home. So we've sent load after load back home. I said, are you going to have a sale? They said, yes, but you don't understand. The commercial buyers will not be here. I said, I'm unloading. Not only that, I'm going back and get another load. They said, sir, you're going to lose money. I said, no, I'm not going to lose money. I'm going to sell these cows tomorrow. And they said, well, it's your call, but we're just telling you, and we don't want to be responsible. So I unloaded that load. I went and got another load, unloaded them, and they said, you're on your own. I didn't even bother to go to the sale. I just went to pick up my check at 5 o'clock. And when I got there, I know the guy. The guy said, how did you know what they would want? He said, you had exactly what they wanted. There wasn't any commercial buyers here, but there were all kinds of ranchers, and they bought your cattle. They brought twice what they thought they would have brought, and they brought 2,000 over what they would have normally brought. Say, how did that happen? It happens because I am not subject to what normal people are subject to, and you're not either. If you were here last month, I talked about being a son of God. He said, I no longer call you servants, I call you sons. And if you're a son of God, He said, I can reveal to you things that I don't reveal to other people. And so this entire parable of prayer, this paradigm of prayer, it's about the kingdom of God. You need to understand that you are a son of Almighty God, which makes you a different race. You can be real thrilled about being black or white or brown or yellow if you want to. That doesn't really excite me much, but I'll tell you what excites me is the fact that I am a different species than normal human beings. The Bible said I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that means that I'm living in a kingdom that they are not privy to. And that means different laws apply to me. and blessings are going to happen to me. And I have people say to me regularly, why does everything turn out well for you? And the people that know me best always say that. Michelle used to be my secretary for years. She used to talk about all the, how come things always turn out? When I called my assistant Judy and told her what they were saying at the cow market, she said, it'll turn out good. It always does for you. Friend, you need to live a life where people begin to realize that you are very special in the eyes of God, that God really is on your side, and He will make happen for you what doesn't happen to normal, unsaved people. You are a son of the living God. God has that ability to just carve out special little favors and blessings for you in this life. And so Jesus is giving this prayer, but He said it's not just a prayer. He said, I want you to understand that you have the ability, and this is the fantastic thing. There's one primary purpose of the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus states it early in the prayer, and that is that the will of God that is established in heaven will be duplicated on earth in your behalf. And somebody said, well, the will of God, and I'm always just a little saddened when I watch television and we have all of these tragedies happening, and there seems to be more and more of them, whether it's weather-related or whether it's COVID, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's a school shooting, and people get on there and they give them a mic, and these are sweet people, but they always say, well, everything happens for a purpose. That's absolutely not true. Absolutely not. Don't tell me that God is the orchestrator of the pandemic. Don't tell me that God, for some reason, designs a school shooting. That is not the God of creation. That's not the God of the cross. And that's not the God of Steve Fender. I have found that He is a God that is attempting to bless as many people that will allow themselves to have a capacity to be blessed. And so the point of Jesus' prayer, the purpose of His prayer, this paradigm of prayer, the way prayer ought to be, is saying that I want my will that's in heaven to be done on earth. And everybody is not going to embrace that. And of course, that's the reason why we live in a sin-cursed world. That's the reason why bad things are happening all the time, because people have not embraced the will of God in their life. The Bible said, give Satan no place, but Satan has lots of places. Everybody that has not given their life to Christ, their life is a launching pad for Satan. Satan has nothing. He's terribly in debt. He works on borrowed money. He has fake credit cards. He is an identity thief. He steals people's identity because he doesn't have his own. And so when you look around, you have to realize, and the sooner you understand this, the will of God is seldom done on this earth. Sickness is not the will of God. Death is not the will of God. Violence is not the will of God. Hatred is not the will of God. Racism is not the will of God. War is not the will of God. And many more things are not the will of God. It's a sin. It is a sin and an insult and a blasphemy to attribute the devastation and pain orchestrated by the devil himself to God and say, well, there's a reason for everything. God is in charge of everything. And so this is what God is doing. We don't understand it. No, I do understand it. There is a real devil seeking to devour, but there is a real God. And Jesus gives us the recipe for the will of God to be a reality in our earthly lives. We are to live exceptional lives. And religion does us a great service, a great disservice, rather, when they tell us that we cannot do anything about the terrible evils of this world. We just have to be like normal people, and they just have to happen to us. We have a power and authority to rebuke and to abort those things that Satan comes against us with. And so the number one, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. What's he talking about? Is daily diet. Daily diet. And when you talk about daily diet, what are you talking about? There's two aspects to this, as there is in everything. We're talking about God gives us our daily bread. He literally provides for us. It's talking about the provision of the Lord. I saw yesterday I was reading something, and it said if you have $2,200 in assets, I'm not talking about cash money, in assets. In other words, if you have a car that you owe $2,000 on and it's worth $4,200, you have $2,200 in assets. That puts you in the top 50% of all the world. Almost everybody in this building has at least $2,200 in assets. And many of you have more than $2,200 in cold, hard cash. And I'd like for you to bring it right now and put it on the platform. You have that cash. That puts you in an echelon that the normal people of this world isn't. That's because you're an American. One time I made a mistake and I gave a woman $30,000 too much. I didn't have her name or her address. She called me and brought $30,000. And I said, "You must be a Christian." She said, "No, I'm not. I'm a Texan." And so there is a benefit just being an American and a Texan. But there's a better benefit in being a Christian. And so God is telling us, I want to give you a daily diet. I want to give you provision. And God does provide for us. Every one of you in this building have got clothes. Most of you have a home that you're living in. You have an automobile. You have a job. You are blessed. God is providing for you. That's daily diet. But even more than that, when he talks about give us this day our daily bread, the Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, this is very important that you understand that. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by what? By the Word of God. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. If you understand that God wants to give you a will that the world knows nothing about, you have to understand, not only will God give you your daily provision in bread, physically, your food, your job, your clothes, but God wants to give you a word every day, because you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every day, God has got a word for your life. And what will that word do? It will, by faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That word that God gives you every day will frame that particular 24-hour period. What does that mean? That means that no weapon will be formed against you will prosper in that 24-hour period because you have the Word of God that frames you a world that the person standing next to you on your job does not have because you're a son of God. And because you understand that God has a special place for those people that are in the hollow of his hand. So God gives you a word. That word will be a word of provision. That word will be a word of protection. And that word will be a word of performance. In other words, you will do something that will be a blessing to you, to everybody around you, and to the kingdom of God generically. God will bless you. That's what Jesus is talking when he said, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, give us this daily bread. Give us the word. That's the reason why you need to be a student of the Word of God. I told you years ago, my ministry has changed drastically from when I was a young kid and I first started, and I was just spewing my opinions about everything. I remember when George Herbert Bush was running for president. I wasn't a big fan of his. Neither did I like, I can't remember the guy who was running. I didn't like either one of them. And so I remember having a whole dissertation I had denouncing both candidates. Well, they were the only two we had. I don't know what I expect the people to do after that. But I was really into stuff like that. And God spoke to me one day and said, your opinion has absolutely no supernatural power. I said, well, what if it's right? He said, it can be right and still not have any supernatural power. But he said, my word has supernatural value. Quit giving your opinion about politics and government and fads and trends and preach the Word of God. Because if I can impart to you the Word of God, it will frame a world in you. It will change your life. And so he said, give me this day my daily bread. Become a student of the Word of God. Because I promise you, in that Bible, There is a word that will defeat every enemy that's going to face you in that 24-hour period. And if you have the word of God that flows out of the mouth of God, you will be victorious, not just occasionally, but every day. You've got to get to the place where Christ, when Satan came against him, he would simply say, "It is written." And friend, if you can get to that place where you say, "This is my daily bread," not my physical daily bread, but my spiritual daily bread, "It is written." When a demon spirit, whatever it is, comes against you, you will be able to say, "It is written." Whether you say it vocally or whether you say it in your spirit, it will literally bring that adversary to its knees and be defeated, and you will be victorious over whatever that circumstance and that situation is. God wants you to understand that He wants the will of God, which is in heaven, to be incorporated in your life on this earth. That you live a blessed life. He intended for Christians to live a different life than non-Christians. And I simply wasn't taught that. All those wonderful Pentecostal people that loved God, they taught me a lot of things about going to heaven, but they did not teach me much about what it meant to live 24 hours every day and say, "God is on my side, and I don't have to endure what the rest of the world has endured because I have got a power that's greater than this world." Number two, he said, if you're going to incorporate the word, the will of God on this earth, if you're going to cause the will of God to be done in your life, step two, forgiveness given and received. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. When somebody does something against you and you forgive them, it's not about them. It's not about you saying, "Well, I was wrong and you were right." No, they might have been wrong and you might have been right. That's not it. When you forgive somebody, what it means is, "I am not going to let you injure me." Because if you don't forgive them, that arrow is like a quiver in your heart. It's just there. You haven't watched enough Westerns. When the cowboys are attacked by the Indians and they shoot that arrow, the first thing they do is get that arrow out. And that's what it means to be forgiveness. When you're attacked by somebody and somebody hurts you, and somebody says something against you, and somebody does something against you, you need to be quick to forgive them. Because the quicker you can forgive them, the quicker the healing begins in your body. And so Jesus said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." I've got some bad news for you. In our flesh, the Apostle Paul attests to this so many times. In our flesh, it's impossible for us to live a 24-hour perfect life. We will hurt and offend God, either by something we say, something we do, and if you get very spiritual, you might not be in those two categories, you might be in these two. Something you don't say, and something you don't do. There was something kind you should have said, or there was something good you should have done, and you didn't do. So you're going to trespass against God. It's impossible for flesh to not trespass against God. We will. But Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. In other words, if you forgive people, and you're quick to forgive them, your trespasses will be so quickly forgiven in you that they will not distract with your relationship with God, and they will not prevent God from blessing you, because it is God's will to bless you every day. David called it daily benefits, daily benefits, daily benefits. Every day God wants to do good things in your life. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy. You say, "Well, somebody did something against me, and I, you know, when they ask my for forgiveness, I'm going to forgive them, but not until." That's not what the Bible says. Just go ahead and forgive them. It don't matter whether they ever ask you to forgive. Just forgive them and move on, because God is going to forgive you. Number three, lead us not into temptation. Avoid temptation. temptation comes to us all. The Bible said, bringing every thought into captivity. Avoid temptation. This is what we are doing to bring the will of God that is in heaven on this earth in your life. You're not going to bring it for the whole universe. I'm talking about for you and your spouse and your kingdom and your little house and your little trailer and your little double wide and where you live and where you work and where you drive, just in your little kingdom. You can create an aura around your space. Somebody asked me the other day about some problem that was happening in this country, and there's so many of them, I don't even try to categorize or watch them anymore. They're just going to happen. And I said, oh, I'll tell you what, I'm just walking through a minefield, and it's just amazing how good I am at walking through that minefield, just stepping around them. It don't affect me. What they do in the White House, what they do in the State House, it just don't affect me. Because I am living in a different kingdom. I'm a citizen of another world. And so temptation is going to come. But he said, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Temptation is going to come because you're a human being. But you can bring that under subjection of the power of Jesus Christ. Because almost all of you in this building are not only Christians, you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, Christians. And Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said, now you've got power. What's that power over? It's power over the devil. It's power over your flesh. It's power over temptation. It's the power over not to be such a Gentile and to be so human and stand up and do the right thing. And so God said, if you want the kingdom of heaven to come down and be a part of your life, he said, get away from temptation. When you're tempted, Jesus was tempted in all points, but he did not submit himself to any of those temptations. He overcame every one of those, and because of that, he was victorious. And number four, seek and accept deliverance. Deliver us from evil. Ladies and gentlemen, if the kingdom of God is not supernatural, it's not the kingdom of God at all. God will supernaturally deliver you. I don't know what kind of life you live, but I spend most of my time by myself. 75% of my time I spend by myself, which gives me an amazing prayer life because I don't have to get on my knees because there ain't nobody around. And I can't tell you, and I can't emphasize more to tell you how many inhibitions are lost when you're by yourself. There's just things you won't pray if you're in a prayer room and somebody can hear you. There's just things that you will not pray if you're kneeling beside your bed with your spouse. You just won't say it. But when you are alone, just you and God, you can be so honest because nobody's going to sue you. Nobody's going to say, I didn't know that. Nobody's going to point a finger of accusation. You can just be with the Lord and you can feel the supernatural presence of God. Friend, I'm amazed at this church. I've preached in Pentecostal churches all of my life. Pentecostal churches have an amazing presence of the Holy Ghost. But it's not like this church. It doesn't happen immediately. They have to get to a certain place. They have to warm up. You go into a Pentecostal church, and the first 15 minutes so many times is the deadest church in town. It's deader than the Baptist or the Catholic. They're just dead. But after a while, they get warmed up. And man, after a while, that place gets exciting. But this church, Living Word Church, is different. I'm just amazed. We've gone through this pandemic where there'd be very few people here. But when we begin to worship, it's like somebody just flips a switch. It's immediate in this church. You can just feel the tangible presence of God. And even on a Wednesday night, Pastor Brandon, I think it's Pastor Brandon, I kept saying, is this Wednesday or this Sunday? You cannot distinguish between the spirit of Sunday and the spirit of Wednesday because it's not a day thing. It's a people thing. It's a kingdom thing. And you people immediately begin to praise God, and I can immediately feel the supernatural presence of God. It's amazing. But let me hasten to say, I feel that same presence of God in my pickup truck or in my car when I'm alone. I'm talking about supernatural delivering power of God. The devil has not given up on you, and he's not given up on me. The devil is a loser. He's a little bit like Joe Biden. I don't know how many times Joe Biden ran for president, but praise God, he finally got it. And the devil's just like Joe Biden. He won't quit. He just keeps running for the president of your life. But you've got to get up every day and say, I will defeat the devil new and fresh today. If his mercy is fresh, his deliverance is fresh. And so every day I get up and say, the Lord will deliver me out of them all. The Lord will deliver me out of them all. It's one thing for God to want to deliver you. It's another thing for you to expect and accept deliverance. You've got to believe in the supernatural part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not just scholarship. It's not scholarly. It's not just dotting your I's and crossing your T's. It's not just memorizing a few verses and going to church. It is a supernatural thing. The Bible said you're endued with power from on high. You have now been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is much more powerful than the spirit of the devil. And so I can accept that deliverance and say, I receive the deliverance. I'm delivered from the devil. I'm delivered from his attack. I'm delivered from temptation. I'm delivered from my own flesh. I'm delivered from failure. I'm delivered from the normal scheme of things. I don't live like this world. I know what's going on in society. I know what's going on in finance. None of that affects me. I am a participant and a citizen of an entire different kingdom, and I'm expecting it to be like heaven. I'm expecting my life to be blessed every day. Good things happen to me. That's the reason why I love the telephone. Somebody's going to call me with a good report. That's the reason why I'm in love with a mailman or mailwoman. They're going to bring me good news. I'm expecting my ship to come in every day. And praise God, sometimes it's not even a ship I have to go to the airport. It's a jetliner bringing it in. But good things are going to happen. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And he said, accept that deliverance. And number five, declare the kingdom of God now. For thine is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not just when I die. It's going to be better when I die. How do you know? I'm going to have a new body. It doth not yet appear to be what I shall be, but I shall be. It's going to be even better, Tammy, but it ain't half bad right now. I mean, it's very good right now. The Lord is taking care of me. I can eat what I want. I went to Red Lobster yesterday, and I have better than perfect vision in my right eye. But in my left eye, which is my retina, I'm monovision. That's the way the doctors got me fixed. And so in the last few months, I'm not reading a small print quite as good as I did. And then they're going to fix that too. But anyway, I went to Red Lobster, and they had this lobster feast on there. And it was $10.95. I mean, it was a feast. I had three kinds of shrimp. I had those good biscuits they have. Oh, those are good. I had salad. I had lobster. Oh, I said, man, this is great. $10.95. Just wonderful. And then when I got the bill, it was $40.95. I looked at it wrong. I wouldn't have ordered that. But man, I was glad I did after I got it. But you know what I thought? I mean, I didn't embarrass myself by questioning the waitress. I just said, hey, I didn't look at that right. But you know what I thought about? I thought about all the people that would have worked a hardship on if it went from $10.95 to $40.95. It didn't work a hardship on me. It didn't affect me at all. Friend, I'm going to tell you, God can take care of me. Whether it's the sale barn or whether it's at Red Lobster, no matter where it is, God's on my side. It just doesn't matter. This life is really good because it's kingdom now and then. When I die, it's going to be better, praise God. But right now, it is so good. Some of us are living so good that we are not sure that we want to go to heaven. Oh, friend, you want to go to heaven. It's going to be better than this. I talked to a little Pentecostal man, or a woman rather, and her son, and both of them said they wasn't ready to go to heaven. I said, ma'am, and they were Holy Ghost filled people. They go to another church across town. I said, you don't want Jesus to come? She said, not yet. This was a long time ago. She said, I just got a new house. You know what that's like? And she said, I want to live in my new house a while. Well, friend, the new house you just got ain't quite compared to the one you're going to have. And then the teenage boy said, I don't want to go to heaven yet either because he said, my daddy just bought me a motorcycle. Friend, I don't care if you just got a new motorcycle or a new house. When you go to heaven, you're not going to be thinking about that motorcycle you left behind or that house you left behind, because kingdom then is going to be so awesome. But in the meanwhile, praise God, why don't you get up every morning and declare the kingdom of God and say, I am a child of the living God. I'm a son of God. And today I'm going to be blessed coming in and going out. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be a blessing to somebody. God's going to do something. I've got the name of Jesus, which gives me authority. I'm covered in the blood of Christ. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. I am an anomaly in this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And six, he said, embrace God's power. Embrace God's power and quench not the Spirit. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Ladies and gentlemen, embrace the power of God in your life. Can you get crazy faith? Pastor Brandon's been talking about crazy faith. Get that faith that says something supernatural is going to happen. God's going to make a way where there absolutely is a dead end. I mean, God's going to make a door. God's going to open it up. God's going to shape it. God's going to form it. It's going to be mind-boggling. God wants it to be a part of my testimony, a miracle that cannot be explained. I'm living in that kind of kingdom. And you need to realize every day that God wants us to experience the glory. I love this verse. I love this verse. He's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's not talking about heaven, you place it just in Living Way Church. He's talking about your home being a heavenly place, your car being a heavenly place, your job being a heavenly place. You just stand out in this world because everybody knows there's something different about you. What is it? You can go through hell and not even be the smell of smoke on you. You're like the Hebrew children. You're like Jacob running for his life. And when he goes to sleep, suddenly God sets his ladder down from heaven and heaven starts coming down. Made us set together in a heavenly place. It's kingdom now and then. Some of you are just enduring too much. I told Becky the other day, I said, Becky, I've lived a really blessed life. I really have. And I said, you know, the Bible teaches that God won't allow to put much on, more on you than you can bear. I said, apparently I don't have much of a load limit. Because God just hadn't let much be put on me, brother. Just very blessed. And I said, I look at Annette carrying a big load. I looked at somebody going through something, and I said, I'm not sure I could do that. But they are, and I praise God for them, but I didn't have to. God is taking care of me. Every day I'm praising him. You can't imagine how many times I praise God every day. I mean, just little stuff. I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for that, Jesus. Just little stuff. That'll happen 50 times a day in my life. The Bible said 7 times a day, David praised the Lord. He was a piker compared to me. I praise him more than 7 times a day. I praise him 50 or 100 times a day. I thank God for my car. I thank God for my clothes. I thank God for my food. I thank God when I get a check in the mail. I thank God when my cows bring too much money. I thank God when somebody's kind to me. When somebody calls me and somebody encourages me. I walked into a little restaurant, a little taco place where I go a lot of mornings, and the same people are always in there. They know me, and it was the coldest day we had this week. I just had on jeans and jean shirt and jeans. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going out and feed my cows and my horses. She said, like that? Aren't you cold? I said, not at all. She said, they don't make men like you anymore. Oh, friend, it's not about making men like me. It's about making sons of gods like us. We are a rare breed. We are a rare breed. You need to have miracles in your life. I'm asking God to intensify his anointing in my life. You know what? The one thing, if I could ask for one thing in life, it would be that when I touch people, that I would see a more supernatural result. I just want to be able to reach out and say, in the name of Jesus, and cancer patients just get well. I believe it's coming more and more. I've seen some of that. I've seen some amazing miracles. I've seen people stop seizures when I preach just like that. I saw a man with his eyes rolled back in his head in the hospital over an I-10. They didn't give him three hours to live. And when I prayed for him, he sat up in bed. He wasn't even a Christian. He sat up in bed, said, "Where am I?" I said, "You're in the hospital." He lived for years after that. Oh, that was good. But it doesn't happen enough. I want that to happen every day. I want to see somebody healing cancer every day, every day. I'm saying, God, your will in heaven, let it be done on earth. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of expectancy. It's a matter of crazy faith. It's a matter of living in a place where God can use you and not get lifted up. I ask you this, God would use you to heal 10 cancer victims this week, would you become pride and lifted up? We've all seen it. Man, somebody gets a little ministry and they get so proud and lifted up. I saw a man that was being used and he fell by the wayside. I knew he would. You can't have that spirit and not do that. But he would actually have people around him and they say, "Don't touch the man of God. Don't touch the man of God. Don't touch the man of God." That's crazy. That's pride. If you're a woman, a man of God, lay your hand on me. Maybe something will flow back from me. Maybe God will bless you. Stand on your feet right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to prep you for a new life. You are so blessed. You're saved. You love the Lord. God's on your side. I'm trying to prep you for what we say, a new level, a new place in your life, bigger blessings, increase your capacity, increase your anointing. You say, "Oh, I just wish I was a Bible teacher or a Bible preacher. I just wish this or that." Friend, I don't care who you are. These signs shall follow them that believe. In the last days, God's going to do a new thing. You can literally become a source of healing. Brother Chris, you ought to pray every day, "God, just make me a healer. Lord, just make me a healer. Not because of my flesh, but I'm a young man. I'm going to live another 50, 60 years. God, let me just go through this life, put my hands up. Let it just be noised abroad that when I touch people, they get well." You say, "That's too much to ask." You say, "I'm asking for a new car." Ladies and gentlemen, if you become a healer, you'll have a new car. I promise you that. God will take care of all that little stuff. We're asking for too little. We need to ask for bigger things and higher things and supernatural things. And God will take care of the cars and the clothes and the money and the house if we will get involved in the kingdom of God. This is a new and exciting age. And I don't know about you, but every day I'm saying, "God, I volunteer." And praise God, God don't respect men or women or age. And so it doesn't matter how young or how old. God said, "I can use you at 72. I can use you at 12. I can use you, woman. I can use you, man. I can use you." You need to volunteer and say, "God, I want to bring the will of God that is in heaven on this earth in my sphere of influence in Jesus' name." I wonder if there's somebody in this building that would like to give their...